Today's shiur is dedicated by Dr. Yosef and Mrs. Yael Gurevich in honor of their grandparents, Mr. and Mrs. Moshe Rubin. Today's shiur is dedicated for Refuah Shleima, for Shalom ben Bracha. Today's shiur is Masechet Ksubos Daf Pei Dalet. We will begin on Daf Pei Gimel Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom of Shimon Gamliel Omer. We had discussed in our previous shiur, started our Perek, learned the Mishnah, where the husband, who is entitled to certain rights, as we have discussed and will discuss, declares that he is giving up those rights. And we learned, according to the Tanakhama, under certain circumstances, his declaration is valid. Under certain circumstances, his declaration is not valid. And there were different halachas based on what type of declarations were made. Rav Shimon Gamliel, however, said that in all situations, the husband, if the wife predeceases the husband, no matter what type of declaration he made, the husband is her yorish. And says the Gemara, Amar Rav, teaches us halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel, that halacha is actually like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Says the Gemara of Olam Tamei, and not for the same reason that we learned that Rav Shimon Gamliel gave why that is his reason. Says the Gemara, exactly what did Rav mean with this statement? What was meant with the statement that Lok Rav Shimon Gamliel for Olam Tamei? Ask the Gemara, Elam, if you'll want to suggest that was what was meant to be said was the email Lok Rav Shimon Gamliel, that we follow the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, Domer Imesa Yerushana, that if the wife passes away, under all circumstances, the husband inherits her. However, not for the same reason that Rav Shimon Gamliel offered. The Rav Shimon Gamliel Sava, as we learned in the Mishnah, that the reason his statement is invalid, because he's a master masha kosa b'taira, he's making condition in the violation to what the Torah says, and the halach is that that type of statement, that type of declaration, to know a bottle is meaningless, and that's why he will yarshin her no matter what statement he made. Rav Sover, and suggests the Gemara, Rav holds that Tanoi Kayim, that such a statement is valid. As we learned earlier in the Masechta, on Daf Nun Vav Amin Aleph, where we discussed Hamakadosh Ish, if somebody marries a woman, Amnash She'en Loch Olai She'er Ksus V'Oina, that the Torah obligates every husband as he gets married to his wife to provide her with She'er Ksus V'Oina. And if a husband makes a declaration that he shouldn't have to give these obligations, the Gemara suggested that if it was a Dovish B'Mamon, if the condition that he set forth was regarding a financial issue, the halacha is that Tanoa Kayim, that the condition is considered halachically valid. The Ksover, and Rav's opinion is that Yerushas Habal, so that's why in our case, in our Mishnah, theoretically, the condition should be a valid condition because it's a financial situation. So why did Rav agree with Rav Shimon Gamliel? Because Rav's opinion is that this halacha that we've been discussing in our shiurim, that the husband is the yorish of his wife, Rav's opinion is that Yerusha Sabal Drabonin, that the halacha that a husband yarshins his wife is a din drabonin. And that means that even though by a deraisa, if it's a financial matter, the halacha is what a condition that's contrary to what the Torah said is valid. When it's a din derabbanon, the halacha is that it's invalid. So the question is asked many rishonim. In our Mishnah, we've learned that the husband makes these declarations, and the declarations are relevant to two different situations. One is that they're relevant as far as Hilchis Yerusha, as far as will the husband be able to take away his right to inherit his wife? And the other is regarding Peiros, that the husband eats the Peiros of the Nechsim Alok. And Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, whose opinion we are discussing now, teaches us that as far as the halacha of a husband yashining a wife, as far as that halacha is concerned, the condition can never be considered valid, because Acham also chizuk devrayim, Chazal were very concerned that the rules that they put in place should always remain in place. But why was Rav Shimon Gamliel, according to this explanation, only concerned about Yerusha? Why don't they make the same condition regarding the Paris, that a husband can't make a condition that he shouldn't get the Paris? So Tosfos answers, since Paris are not as common as Yerusha, so something which is as common as Yerusha, that's where Chacham also chizuk devrayim. But Paris, which are not as shriach, the Chacham did not see a need to make a chizuk. The other Rishonim say, Yerusha, which is a concept midaraisa, even though, as I was explaining now, in this particular case, it isn't a deraisa, but in other situations, Yerusha is a deraisa. So since in other cases, Yerusha is a deraisa, Chazal strengthened their rules regarding Yerusha. But the halacha of Paris doesn't have a precedent in the Torah. And since it doesn't have a precedent in the Torah, then therefore the halacha is that you could be meichel on the Paris that doesn't have a precedent in the Torah, but you can't be meichel on the Yerusha. So on one hand, we're saying Yerusha is more similar to a Dvar Torah than Paris. On the other hand, we're saying that when we apply the rule of Acham also chizlik devrayim, they apply it only to the Rabbanans that are grounded in the Deraisa versus the Rabbanans that are not connected to any Deraisa. The Mashar gives a different explanation. He says, when it comes to Yerusha, we can't know, as we said a moment ago, the only time the husband is Yoirish the wife is in a case where the wife predeceases him. Nobody knows for sure who's going to die first, the husband or the wife. And therefore, the mechila is not really that strong of a mechila. And since the mechila is not that strong of a mechila, that's why Chazal said the whole mechila is not valid. Whereas by Paris, if the wife has nichsi melug, the husband knows he's getting those nichsi melug, and that's why it's very different. Ask the Gemara, the Savar Rav Tanor Kayim, is that true that somebody, that Rav normally holds, that a masna davish b'tayr, if it's a davish b'moment, it's financial, the Tanai will be valid? Ve'a itmar, we learned a statement over which there's a machloikus Rav and Shmuel. Haimel chaver amash en lecha alay no. We know that the Torah teaches us that if somebody doesn't charge the right price, and it could go both directions, that means the buyer, the seller overcharges, or the buyer underpays. There's a din of Aynoa, and there are three situations. If the overcharge or undercharge was less than a sixth, it doesn't make a difference. If it's exactly a sixth, the overcharge or the undercharge should be returned, but the sale, the transaction, stands. If it's more than a sixth, the whole transaction is voided. So if somebody enters into a transaction and he says that the halachas of Aino that we just described should not be applicable, Rav Amayesh Aino. Rav says that the halacha is that you can't make such a condition because it's masna amasha kosu b'tayra, because the Torah Kedosha says, Loisayna es ish es amisai. Shmuel Amar, Aino love Aino. So we see that Rav holds that even by a doraisa, to know a bottle. Ella says, the more what Rav meant to say, halacha of Shimon Gamliel, the halacha of Shimon Gamliel, domar hamasna mashikosu b'tayra to know a bottle, v'lam etamei, but not exactly as of Shimon Gamliel. Dealer Shimon Gamliel, sova, mesa, yurashena, that if the husband made this declaration, if the wife predeceases him, he will yarshen her. Rav sova, may, that he won't be able to yarshana, because he holds that the Yerusha of a husband to a wife is a deraisa, and Rav at this point the Gemara is assuming holds masna mashikos b'Torah. If you make a condition against what it says in the Torah to know a bottle, but if you make a condition against what the Rabbanon instituted to know a kayim, says the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to explain Rav, so Rav mitamei, Rav is going to agree with Rav Shimon Gamliel, but he's not going to agree with him la'alocha l'maisa, because Shimon Gamliel holds that the Tanai is bottle, because and Rav is going to hold that the Tanai is not bottle. Ella halakha of Shimon Gamliel d'amar meisi rishena v'la mitamei. The Gemara says that Rav agrees with Rav Shimon Gamliel that no matter what type of declaration the husband made, the husband will yashin his wife, but they don't agree in reasoning. Dila Rav Shimon Gamliel sava b'deraisa b'nad b'tol haba d'rabbanon, that by deraisa you can't make a tanai against what it says in the Torah, by a d'rabbanon you can. Rav sava fil b'drabbanon tanai b'ta, says the Gemara. If that's the opinion of Rav, so ask the Gemara, hay metamei u'kehachaseihu, that means Rav really concurs with Rav Shimon Gamliel. Just the only thing is that Rav Maisafu, that Rav Shimon Gamliel said that it's only by the Raisa. And Rav Shimon Gamliel, and Rav is saying that the aloch of Tanoi Bottle is even by the Rabbanon. Ella, says the Gemara, this is the way to understand what Rav meant to say. Halach Rav Shimon Gamliel dama meisi rishena. Again, that his declaration is voided, and if she dies, he will be her Yerush. However, v'lam etamei, dila Rav Shimon Gamliel sovi Yerushas habal daraisa, v'kal ha-masna masha kosa b'tayra, as the Mishnah taught us, is tanoi bottle. Rav sovi Yerushas habal d'rabbanon, and Rav is going to hold, as we said earlier in the shir, that also chizuk l'dvarim k'shel tayra, that even by the rabbanons, if somebody makes a condition contrary to what it says in the Torah, the tanai is bottle. Ask the Gemara, is that correct? The Rav Sover, is it correct to assume the Rav holds the Yerush Sabal Rabbanon, that when a husband, that a husband yarshining his wife is only a din de Rabbanon? For Tanan, Rav Yochanan ben Baruch Oimer, Hayorish is Ishtoi, if somebody yarshins his wife, so we know there's a halacha that any sale of property that takes place in Eretz Yisrael, when the Yovel year comes, the sale goes back, everything is given back to the original owner. So if a wife owns a plot, a base of kvaris, and now Yovel comes, so Rav Yochanan Baruch Oimer Yorish as Ishtoi, Yachsel B'nei Mishbacham, he should return that plot to the family, V'naklam and Adomim, but he shouldn't have to pay. They will pay him for what it's worth, but they deduct some of what they have to pay him. And when trying to understand Rabbi Yochanan ben Broike's opinion that's stated in that Mishnah, Masechta Bechayrus, Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis, Maika Sover, let's understand exactly what is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broike. Ika Sover Yushus Abal Daraisa, if he holds that a husband yarshining his wife, that halach is a din daraisa. So ask the Gemara, Amai Yachzer, why should he have to return? Because even though, as we said a moment ago, all properties revert back to their original owners when Yovel come, that doesn't apply to Yerusha. Yerusha is not returned, is not reverted back when Yovel come. V'drabbanon, if we're going to say that it's a drabbanon, and therefore, since it's only a drabbanon, it's treated like a sale. What the halacha is that the property goes back by Yovel year. But the question is, Domim Mayavidatayu, what does the mean that the what was meant when we said the Domim, that the family has to pay him money? So the Rishonim ask, why, if even if we'll say that the halacha of Yerushas Habal is a drabbanon, still, we just finished learning the Chacham Osu Chacham Chizuk Devrayim Kishal Taira. The Chacham treated their rules, we treat the drabbanon rules like the Raisas. And if we just said that Yerusha the Raisa doesn't revert back by Yovel, so Yerusha the Rabbanon should also not revert back by Yovel. Says the Gemara, says Taisus, on the Afnun Vav Amud Beis, the very masculine Kosover, that when we speak about a husband yarshing and his wife, it's not the same as every other Yerusha. He says that every other Yerusha is based on a relationship, on being relatives. the halacha of a husband yashing his wife is based on hefker bezdin hefker. And therefore, since it's not doesn't work with the same principles as every Yerusha is, then that's why the halacha is that it does, that it reverts back to Yovel. So if we're saying it's the Rabbanon, and as we just explained, that's why it reverts back in Yovel, so what it was meant when the Mishnah that we quoted from Masechta Bracha says that they have to pay Omarav, Loyal Ksav Yerushas Baal Daraisa. And Rav, in order to explain Rabbi Yochanan ben Parika's opinion, says that actually Yerushas Baal Daraisa. But what happened here was, Kigoin Shirishta Ishta Besakvars, that a woman inherited a cemetery where her relatives were buried, and her family, and now her husband yashin her. So, but her family doesn't want that cemetery, which was reserved for their family, should now be used for other families, for other people. And they, who this is their family cemetery, will not be able to be buried there. So that's why, says the Gemara, what Chazal said was, that's what Rabbi Yochanan Breka said, I'm Rabbanan, Lishkel Domi. Chazal said that the family has a right to go to the husband who yashined this cemetery, pay him for the cemetery, and they get back their cemetery. So ask the Gemara what was meant when Rabbi Yochanan Breka used the words Yenakalam and Adami. Says the Gemara, Dmei Kava Eshtei, that the man, they're paying for the whole cemetery, but the husband is obligated to pay to bury his wife. So that for that plot that was in the cemetery that they're paying for, that plot in the cemetery that they're paying for, that cemetery that they're paying for, they can deduct the value of that plot. So what's pshat chizer slam b'yovel? Because say the Rishonim, the Ramban, and other Rishonim say that still it's not the pagam, the embarrassment that their plot, that their cemetery is going to a different family, is not really evident until the Yovel year comes. Kirtanya, says the Gemara, that this halacha, that the family is allowed to take back their cemetery, was taught in a Braisa. Because the Braisa teaches us, Hamoicha Kivroi, V'derech Kivroi, if somebody sells his cemetery and the path to the cemetery, Mamodoi, they used to have a place where they all stood after the Levaya, Makam Espeda, they had a place where they made their Spedim, Boim B'nei Mishpachai, V'kovernoi Sabal Karchai. The family could bury this person in his plot, Mishum Gam Mishpachai, that he should be buried elsewhere. Rav L'tamei, Rabbi Yochanan Breka Kamar, V'leila Svirlei. So now we see, but what we see from here is, the Rav holds that Yerusha Sabal is Daraisa. Not like we suggested that Rav held that Yerushas Baal Darabonon. Says the Gemara, Lava Tamei, to Rav Yochanan Breika Kama. Rav was explaining the opinion of Yochanan Breika, the Leilo Sphirale. But one of the things we see that Rav holds that Yerushas Baal is Darabonon. Rav Yochanan Breika holds Yerushas Baal is Daraisa. The Gemara suggested that so too is the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. But Rav holds that even though it's only Darabonon, you can't make a Tanai against what even the Rabbanan instituted. So here we learned that they used to bury all of the family together. And the question that the Paiskim discuss is a wife who passes away. Where should she be buried? She should be buried by her family, or should she be buried by her family? So the Divrei Makil actually suggests that it really depends how couples are buried in that location. If husband and wives are buried next to each other, then the wife should be buried next to the husband. The Mav Yavik discusses how husbands and wives are appropriate to be together even after they're no longer here, buried next to each other. However, if they are buried separately in some cemeteries, men and women are not buried next to each other, then the halacha, he suggests, is that the wife could be buried with her family. Says the Mishnah, somebody passed away, he left a wife who who's demanding haksuba ubachayv, and he had people that he owed money to for yarshin, and he has his yarshim for hayla pekadim or milva b'yarachayim. And this person who passed away had assets that he had asked somebody else to watch, or he had money, both that he's being metatlin, that he had left with other people. Rav Tarfon Omer, even though normally the halach is that metatlin are not obligated to a bal chayv, they're not obligated, we learned many times, to ksuba, yinasul kashub zahen, we should give these assets to the weakest of this group, which the Gemara will identify who that is. Kivaima, Eimer Rachman Medin. There's no such a halacha. Elo Yenosnu Yarshim. The Yarshim are the ones that get these metatlin. Why, explains the Rekiva. Shekulim Tzricha Shvua. A Bal Chayiv, or somebody who, a woman who's collecting a ksuba, cannot collect their Chayiv or their ksuba without swearing that they had not already been paid that Chayiv or that ksuba. Yarshim don't need to make a shvua. Ain't a yarshim tzrichim shvua to get the Yerusha. And since they are the strongest in their hold on these assets, that's why they should get the assets. Says the Gemara further. Another case where Rekiva and Rav Tarfon disagree. Hiniach parius talushim in a karka. This person who passed away left over payers that are no longer connected, and explains the Teres Yisrael that the same would be for metatlin, but not payers that are connected to the ground. Kol ha-koydim ben zochbem, whoever seizes them first, says Reb Tarfon, gets it first. Zoch si ishi yoshim iksubasai, if the woman seized all of these assets, but the value of these assets exceed the value of a ksuba, or bal chayv seized these assets, and the amount that he seized is yoisel chayvay, worth more than the money that he's owed. Hamayser, so what do we do with that leftover money? Again, Rav Tarfon Omer, yinasnu yikoshabahem. We give it to the person who's the weakest. And again, as I said, we will explain who the weakest is. And actually, explain the Meiri, that this halacha is relevant to the first case of the Mishnah as well, where we learned that the koshel gets the money. And again, the halacha will be, if the person who got the money got more than he deserves, the leftover should go to the koshel. And again, we have Rabbi Kiva's opinion. Rabbi Kiva, Eimer Rachman Bedin, Ella Yenosnu Yarshim. The Yarshim are the ones that get it, because Shekulam Tzrichim Shvua, the Yarshim are in the strongest position. They get their Yerusha without making a Shvua. The Bal Chayv and the Isha have to make a Shvua, very Yarshim Tzrichim Shvua. So says the Gemara, the first case of the Mishnah, we spoke about that the husband left over Milva, and he left over Bikodin. We had a disagreement of Tarfon Rekiva. And the question the Gemara asks is, Lamali Mr. Milva, Lamali Mr. Bikodin? Why do we have to pick about two cases, Milva and Bikodin? Ostensibly, the halacha ought to be the same by both. Answers the Gemara Tzricha. Ditanam Milva, if we only had Milva, Baha Kamar of Tarfon, that's where we would understand that the Yarshim don't really have any rights to the Milva. Because there's a rule throughout Shas, the Milva Leitzad Nitna, nobody's expected to hold on to money that they borrowed. Av B'kodin, people are expected to hold on to their B'kodin. A B'kodin means that I'm watching your object. Avil B'kodin, Disa Be'enei, Eme Maidaleh Rebbe Kiva, that it belongs to the Yarshim. V'tanaha, if we only had the case of Bikodin, we would say B'hakam Rebbe Kiva, that it should go to the Yarshim. Av B'hach, that the Yarshim really don't have a hand on them, because Milvalait saw not know. Eme Maidaleh Rebbe Kiva, that's Eme Maidaleh Rebbe Tarfon, that's why Tzricha. Rebbe Tarfon kept on using the word, it goes to the Koshel. Ask the weak one. Ask the Gemara, what does that mean? My l'koshel, what does that mean? Says the Gemara, Rav Yosef, Rav Chanina, Amr l'koshel shebaraya. The one that has the weakest shtar. That means, we know that every transaction has a date to it. And the purpose of the date is that any assets that the husband had sold, that this man had sold after that date, have a shibur on them, have a mortgage on them. And therefore, the person with a later state has the weakest position. And the Gemara is saying that's the definition of kaishal. The definition of kaishal is the person who has the latest dated shtar, because he is in the weakest position. Rav Yochanan Amar, what is the definition of kaishal? Isha. She's considered the weakest because a woman is not going to really exert herself to try to get back these assets. And the reason Chazal gave her this preference over the Baal Chayv, because Shemchina. We want women to be prepared to get married. And since we want women to get married, what we do is, if they will know that if there's ever going to be the step of a Din Torah, they will be in the weakest position, they're not going to be anxious to get married, and that's why they're called the Kaishal. So I saw a beautiful vart from the Satmar Rebbe Zitzal. The Pasuk says that we read the Haftira on Shabbos Shuvah. The Pasuk says, Shuvah Yisrael Hashem Elokecha, ki koshalta be'avenecha. So he explains that for a person to have the privilege to do tshuva, he needs to have siyata d'shmaya. So he explains that in earlier generations, it was easier to have the siyata d'shmaya to do tshuva, because we lived in a time there were great tzaddikim, and those tzaddikim were able to spur people to do tshuva. Their existence amongst us was able to bring us closer to Hashem to do tshuva. However, in later generations, where the level of Kedusha in the world and the degree of tzaddikim in the world is severely diminished, it's much more difficult to do tshuva. The only one, he says, we can rely on to help us do tshuva is only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what he says the pasuk means. L'kosh shebehem means the weakest, as we just explained. Different explanations, who is the weakest? Because we defined as the weakest. And that's what the pasuk says. Shuvi Yisrael Hashem Elokecha. Do tshuva ki koshalta bevenecha. Do tshuva before we come to a world of kaishal. As the world goes on, the world gets more complicated. And the level of kedusha in the world continues to diminish. So the pasuk and the Navi tell us, do tshuva as quickly as possible, because kashalta, once we come to the time of kashalta, it's going to be very, very difficult to do tshuva. Says the Gemara, ketanoi. So we just had a machloikis. Who is the kashal? Is the one with the latest dated shtar the kashal, or is the wife the kashal? Says the Gemara, this is actually a machloikis tanoim. Rabbi Yomar Amil Kosh Shabaraya Vu Kosher. He says that the person who has the weakest shtar, and he says that's what's proper halachically. Rabbi Elazar Omer, the ksubas isha, that we give to the wife over always, because shemchina, because we want to strengthen her position. Says the Gemara, hiniach peres talushim. We learned in the Mishnah of some, if the husband left over property that's fruit that's detached, so the Tanakhama says kol hakodem hem zoch behem. And the Meister of Tarfon goes to the Kaishal. Rabbi Kiva says it goes to the Yarshim. Says the Rabbi Kiva, my area Meister. Why is Rabbi Kiva focused on the Meister? If Rabbi Kiva throughout our Mishnah is saying that we give it to the Yarshim because they have the strongest position, so Kulanam of the Yarshim have it. We should say that belongs to the Yarshim under all circumstances. Says the Gemara, Enochanami. Rabbi Kiva is not only speaking about the Meister, he's speaking about everything. Just why did he mention Meiser? Says the Gemara, V'ayde d'amar Rav Tarfon Meiser, because Rav Tarfon was speaking about the Meiser, that's why Tana Ihu Nami Meiser, he spoke about the Meiser also. Ask the Gemara, so the way we're learning now, according to Rav Kiva, in this case, Tfisa, seizing would be meaningless. Ask the Gemara, will Rav Kiva Tfisa l'mahani klal? Does that mean that Tfisa is never helpful? When did Rav Kiva say that? Is it only after this person passed away, where Rav Akiva keeps on repeating in our Mishnah, that once this person passes away, his position is extreme, the Yarshim's position is very strong, or even before that? Says the Gemara, Amrava Amaram Nachman, Vuhusha Tafas Bechayim, that even though Rabbi Kiva will agree that seizing is helpful, Tfisa is going to be helpful only as long as the person is alive. The Mishnah that says Tfisa is not helpful is only Lachamisa. Rav Tarfon, but Rav Tarfon learned, as we explained, that Tfisa is helpful as long as the Yarshim haven't received it yet. Ask the Gemara the Mantri Hecha. Exactly where are these assets that were saying that the Tfisa, according to Tarfon, would work? Only if they're in the Shusha Rabbim, where the Yorshim were not able to automatically make a kinyan on what the father left. The Simta was a place that was off the main road, and that's where the people would step to do business. There, Rav Tarfon would not say that Tfisa would help. Why? Because since the Simta is a place where you could make kinyonim, as soon as the father dies, those properties become the Yarshim's. Since those property becomes the Yarshim, it automatically becomes theirs as soon as the father passes away, and Tfisa cannot be done anymore. Says the Gemara, even if these assets were in a Simta as the father passed away, Tfisa is still possible. Says the Gemara, there was a situation where Baal Chayiv was typhus, seized the metaltlin after this person passed away, the Don Dinek Rav Tarfon, and the Rabbonim, the Dayanim passing like Rav Tarfon, that Tfisa would be helpful, but says the Gemara, Vahad Rish Lakish Lov Demenayu. But then Rish Lakish instructed them that they should reverse their opinion and they should give it to the Yarshim. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, Asisa, you've turned Rabbi Kiva's halacha kishel taira, as if it was like a deraisa. That means, even though we do follow the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, that means that somebody comes to ask a shayla, we'll tell them to paskin like Rabbi Kiva. But to turn it so strong that if somebody paskin not the Rabbi Kiva, we would have to take it away, reverse it, is Rabbi Kiva's opinion so strong? Says the Gemara, what is the basis of the machlokes? Lema b'hakamavki. The mass of Rish Lakish holds Tabit v'Mishnah. If somebody made a mistake, if a Bezda made a mistake on something that's a Mishnah, the halacha is, and we show him that he made a mistake, chayzer. And therefore, since the halacha is like Rabbi Kiva, because we always paskin like Rabbi Kiva, so therefore, the dayan who paskin incorrectly and did not paskin like Rabbi Kiva, we have to reverse what he said. Omar Sava, whereas Rabbi Yochanan's of the opinion, Tabit v'Mishnah, if somebody makes a Tabit v'Mishnah, ain't a chayzer. We don't have to treat it that strictly. It's treated like a tos b'shikul adas, which we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, in Masechta Sanhedrin. A mistake in a Dvar Mishnah, the psak is reversed. A mistake in shikul adas, and trying to understand, it may be an incorrect psak, but once the psak was issued, it's not reversed. Says the Gemara, loy. The Kulam Tabit Dvar Mishnah Chayzer. Everybody agrees that if he makes a mistake in the Dvar Mishnah, it's reversed. What is the machloikas here? Masav alok Rabbi Kiva mechaveroi. We always paskin like Rabbi Kiva when he's arguing with someone else. V'loy merabai, but not when he's disagreeing with his Rebbe. And Rabbi Tarfon was his Rebbe. And that's why he was allowed to paskin not like Rabbi Kiva. Whereas Umar Sover Rish Lakish's opinion is that we always follow the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, a filum a rabbi, even if he's disagreeing with Rabbi Tarfon his Rabbi. Vibay Sayma, the Kulam Alok Rabbi Kiva Mechavere Velayma Rabbi. Everybody agrees that we only pass like Rabbi Kiva when he's disagreeing with his colleague, not with his Rabbi. So what is the Machlaikas here? Vachabahakamavki. Mar Sover Rabbi Yochanan's opinion was the Rabbi Tarfon Rabbi. Rabbi Tarfon was the Rebbe of Rabbi Kiva. And since Rabbi Tarfon was the Rebbe of Rabbi Kiva, that's why we don't paskin like Rabbi Kiva here. And Mar Sover and Rabbi the Rebbe Shlokesh held that chaverah have, they were colleagues. And since they were colleagues, the halacha is like Rebbe Kiva. And if somebody paskins not like Rebbe Kiva, we have to reverse it. Everybody agrees that Reb Tarfon was Reb Kiva's colleague. Matan Imr means that l'chatchila we pass on Reb Kiva, but it's not final, not reversible. Says the Gemara, Krev the Reb Yochanan toughest part of the Yasmin Masimta. The relative of Reb Yochanan grabbed the animal of the Yisoymim while it was still in the Simta. So they came to Reb Yochanan, and as the Rishonim, as the Yavetz points out, they didn't come to Reb Yochanan as a din Torah, because Reb Yochanan was their relative, and a relative cannot pass a din Torah. What they came to Reb Yochanan was for his advice, and that's why we find now in the Gemara in a moment that Reish Lakish said to reverse what Rabbi Yochanan said. If a psak was issued, how could he say it? Because it wasn't a psak, because it wasn't a din Torah. So also Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, they came to Rabbi Yochanan with this question, and Rabbi Yochanan told him, Amru Shabbat of Suah, you did the right thing. But then says the Gemara, also Kamed Rishim Melakish, they came to Reish Lakish, and Reish Lakish said, Zilo Hadar. Also Kamed Rabbi Yochanan. So now they ask Rabbi Yochanan, what should we do? Amru Ma Esa. What should I do? Should connect the Reish Lakish, who is as great as I am, Chalak Alai, and disagrees with me, and I can't help you against them. Another situation. Says the Marhahu back for the Yossi. They were animals that belonged to the Yisoymim. The Tafsi, Turamine, the Bachoiv seized one of those animals. Bachoiv am Mechaim Tefisnalei, that I seized it while the father was alive. And there, Rabbi Kiva would agree, even Rabbi Kiva would agree, that that Tfisa is fine, Bakra Amma, but the Baal Chayv says, Lacha Tvisa Tafse. But the others say that it was afterwards. And at that point, according to Rekiva, the Tvisa is not helpful. Asla Kamed Rav Nachman. So they came with this question to Rav Nachman. Amalei Islach Sadi the Tafse. He asked the Roya, are there Edim that the Baal Chayv sees the animal? Amalei Lav. I don't have Edim. Amalei. So now Rav Nachman said that the Baal Chayv is holding the animal, and there are no Edim that could tell us when he took hold of that animal. So Migad Yakel Mei Milkuch Biyadi. Since this Baal Chayv, if he wanted a lie, could have said, "I bought this animal." That's why we believe him with the Migui Yakel Noam Lameim Mechaim Tefisnalei. Ask the Gemara, but Vamer Reish Lakish, hasn't Reish Lakish taught us that a Goydus Elam Chazaka? We've learned many times that holding something is a very strong element in halacha. But that's only on something that doesn't move by itself. Animals which are constantly on the move, the fact that I'm holding them doesn't mean anything. So why is the fact that I'm holding the animal give me strength in halacha? Says the Gemara, Shani Torah de Masil L'Roya. An animal is always given over to a roya. He watches it that it shouldn't move around, and therefore the fact that I'm holding it gives me strength. The Bein Nasiya tofsa amsa the yasim simta. The Bein Nasi grabbed the maid of the Yisoymim from a simta. Yosef Avuv Rav Chanin Bar Papa Rav Yitzchak Nafka. Yosef Abba Gabayu Amalahu Shabbat of Sisa, you did the right thing, and like that you could get back what's owed to you. Amalu Rab Abba, Mishum Debe Nasiyaninu Machnif Suley, just because these people who did this are from the Nasi's family, that's why you think what you're saying is appropriate. Hadon Dainik Reb Tarfin, the Dayonim, what we learned earlier in our shir, the Dayonim once passing like Reb Tarfin, which you're saying what they did and you're saying is correct. And says the Gemara, had Reish Lakish over the Minayu, and Reish Lakish made them give it back. So we see that the halacha is like Rebbe Kiva, and not only is the halacha like Rebbe Kiva, if somebody passes like Reb Tarfon, they need to reverse themselves.